So good morning. Wasn't that good? I am truly excited about the series that we're going to be looking at the parables of Jesus. And last week, I mentioned that over many years, I always had spiritual mentors in my life who had spoken to our lives, Linda and I as pastors, and always said, read the red and preach Jesus. You can never go wrong with reading the red and preaching Jesus. And the parable of the sower is one of Jesus' best-known parables. It is found in Luke, it is found in Matthew, it's found in Mark. And we are beginning our series with this particular series. And so these parables are not just nice little Bible stories, amen? And they're just not nice little Bible stories like you saw there. Wasn't that a great clip? Wasn't that good? So as grown-ups, did you like that? Did you enjoy that? Amen, it's good. I agree. And these parables are not just nice little Bible stories. We learned last week that Jesus had intent in everything that he taught, and the intent of the parables is to force thought. It is usually thought that is unexpected, to gain insight, to bring about response in all of our lives. That's what the parables are all about, right? Amen. And to support this fact, that a number of parables start or end with the phrase, "He who has ears, let him hear," or something similar. Now, do you think for a second that I can concentrate with Kevin coming in here? You were wondering, you know. But the thing is, you know, doing the presentation at the beginning of the message and making everything done well, we record this. We want it to be professional for people out there that are listening and stuff. So, Kevin, you just kind of threw a real twist in this. But it's okay. You know, welcome, you know. So, welcome. You know what? They did, eh? Wow, that's good. Yep. That's dedication. Sent me a text this morning, says, "Preach it, brother." So I'm going to preach it, brother. So let's not worry about him right now and worry about Jesus. Okay, so sorry about that. But many people, when they heard that Jesus was coming their way, they went out to meet him. They always went out to meet him. And they could not wait to hear the powerful messages or see the miracles that Jesus would perform. But foremost in Jesus' mind, what should be in our mind, was the message of the Father, what the Father entrusted him to share with the masses that were around him. So Jesus often explained the parables as he did in this passage. We can see that in verses 11 to 15. And most people know that the parable, this parable as the parable of the sowers. In most of your Bibles, if you look, it'll say the parable of the sowers. But it could also be the parable of the soils, not just of the sower. So I'm calling it the sower, and the soil. Is that okay? And looking at the parable this way puts the responsibility on the hearer as well as on the teacher. And persons who sought often just entertainment from Jesus would be responsible for what they heard. How many of you know that hearing God's word is important? How many of you know that? Hearing God's word is important. Hearing and how we properly respond is an important and serious matter. And Jesus used the sower, the seed, and the soil to teach about people's acceptance of God's word. Don't you love that? Don't you just love that? Jesus used the sower, the seed, and the soils to teach about people's acceptance of God's word. Acceptance of God's word. I like these, don't you? There are many who hear God's word, yet many accept it just for a short time, only to allow sin and self choke out the word. The parable of the sower is about a sower who scatters seed which falls on four different types of ground. First, we have the wayward soil. The hard ground by the wayside prevents the seed from sprouting up at all, and the seed becomes nothing more than bird feed. It was on a hardened path, so the seed could not grow. And as the sower threw seed at the outer edges of the plowed field, some of the seed would inevitably end up on the hard baked earth on the wayside. And seed that landed on the wayside had no way of penetrating the hard layer on the footpath. The seed would never even have a chance to sprout up. Our lawn is a perfect example of that. We had a water main that broke, and the city came in and did a very efficient job of fixing it. But the soil that they filled in the hole was just dirt. And over this past summer, it became hard as rock, and all the grass around that spot where it was just died. There was nothing I can do. I could continue to water it and water it and water it. So I had to wait until August, until the dew started coming, and put down some fresh soil. And now it's beautiful again. The seed has come to life with water. Next, we have the stony ground in verse 6 that Linda read. And the stony ground provides enough soil for the seeds to germinate and to grow, but there's no depth. There's no depthness of earth. The plants do not take root and soon will be withered away in the sun. And with the sun, with the small amount of soil, it is quickly dried up and it dies. And when Jesus is describing the bedrock underneath the field's surface, covered by a shallow layer of earth, the underlying rock that was underneath would be invisible to the farmer when they were plowing the field. They would just go over it. Maybe it would just be 8 or 10 inches when they were plowing over. They didn't know what was underneath it. And in such soil, the seed goes in, it germinates, and almost as soon as it begins to look flush and lush, just like my garden, it begins to wither away with insufficient water, and the roots cannot get past the rock layer. And for a while, the crop looks healthy. It looks vibrant. Even, you know, it could be a language that we speak. Oh, that person, boy, they're right on top of it. But then it just kind of withers away, and the crop might look healthy and full of potential. But when the sun comes up and the water is gone, it dies, and everything that sprang up just kind of goes away. Next, we have the thorns. And the thorny ground allows for the seed to grow, but it's competing with things. It's competing with all the junk, the life around us, and all the beneficial things of the plant wither away, and the good ground receives the seed and produces much fruit. So it grows, but the thorns choke it out. How many of you know that weeds grow better and faster than anything else? Amen. Can anyone say grr with me? Grr. Especially if you're a gardener. If you're not a gardener, you may think that's a beautiful plant. But But for those of us who are gardeners, we do not like you. So away from us. Seed sowed in fields of weeds will not mature to a healthy harvest. And Jesus' explanation of the sower and the soil highlights four different responses to the gospel. The seed is the word of the kingdom. Amen? Amen. And the hard soil represents someone who is hardened by sin, who does not understand the word and allows Satan to come in and pluck away the message, keeping the heart dull and preventing the word from making any type of expression in that person's life. And the stony ground pictures a person who professes a delight in the word. However, their heart is not changed. And when trouble arises, their so-called faith, it disappears. It disappears. And that's when your intercessors on a Wednesday night go into warfare mode and we bawl our eyes out before God. The thorny ground depicts the person who seems to receive the word, but their heart is full of riches and pleasures and lusts, and the things of this world take the person's time and attention away from the word, away from the relationship, and that person ends up having no time for any of this. And the good soil portrays the one who hears, the person who understands, the person who receives the word, and then allows the word to accomplish results within your life. How many of you know that the word produces results within your life? Amen. And Jesus spoke this parable, and he called out to the crowd when he spoke this parable. He says, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Those who had closed their spiritual ears would be the ones, or that had not closed their spiritual ears would be the ones that would enter the kingdom of heaven. Because a true disciple never stops listening to the Lord. A true disciple never stops listening to the Lord. And the ground is the person, the good ground is the person who makes full use of God's word. Full use of God's word. Amen. The parallel passages for this particular verse that I'm preaching on this morning amplify the meaning of what we're talking about. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, it says that the good hearer understands the word. He digs into the word, meditates on it, and finds its true meaning. The good hearer also receives the word, and it becomes part of him or her. The good word becomes part of who we are. Luke says that good hearers keep the word, holds on to it, and puts it into practice with an honest and with a good heart. With a good heart. With a good, good heart. And Jesus, he urges his hearers to investigate the true meaning of the parable. And this is made clear in the statement in the second half of Luke chapter 8, verse 8, where he says to them, he cried out, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the verb tense, I don't always do this, but the verb tense in the Greek for that is imperfect, which means it doesn't mean that it's not perfect, but it's imperfect, which usually signifies a continuous action. So he that has ears to hear this morning, continue to hear. Continue to hear. Amen? God is good. So let us bow our heads, and I'm going to pray and just pronounce the benediction this morning. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. A short word today, but Lord, very impactful word. We thank you, Lord, that we have this privilege of knowing your word and allowing your word to transform us and to be transformative in those lives around us as well. So, Lord, we thank you for this day as we go to lunch now. I ask, Lord, not only would the lunch fill us, but, Father, that we would be able to raise lots of money for missions today, and that, Father, our missionaries would know that they are well supported by the Gateway family. Amen. So may the Lord of peace this morning give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you this morning. Amen.